Good morning.
Morning. Good morning, Mr.
Well, welcome to Jenkins Church. I guess everybody's greeted everybody, so we don't have to greet again, do we? Okay. All right. If you'll open your bulletins, several things going on next weekend. I'll note the Lions Club breakfast next Saturday morning at the Rec Center. 2 weeks from now, the Mill Creek Lodge spaghetti dinner. Looks like the Tusculum Common Presbyterian Church Revival is the 15th through the 18th.
Yeah, let me just make a statement about that. Peggy's going to go sing Tuesday night, and they asked us to sing on Tuesday night. We also have this event here, but so Peggy will be there if you want to go. If you're not interested in politics, go to the Tuscan Church. But Jeff Biggs, if you didn't know him, he was the youth leader at Tuscan Church a number of years ago and just a super nice guy, pastoring a church now as the senior pastor, is, I guess we call him the only pastor. And Jeff's a super great guy, and the Tuscan Church has done a lot of preparation for the revival. And you can't go any night. I think it's at 7 o'clock each night. Does anybody know the time? 7.
It's 7. It's 7.
So, okay. If you can't go, offer a prayer for them. Okay.
Budget Planning Committee on October 25th. If you're a chairperson, make sure you get your wants and needs in by before then. Anything else? Anyone? Sonia?
Today at 4:30, and then at 5:30, adult choir. We have We are joining the community in a Christmas cantata, which is actually going to be performed here on December 17th. And tonight we'll introduce that music. So if you'd like to sing either with our home choir or with the community choir for the special presentation, we'd love to have you come to 5:30.
And we passed out the original registration pads.
Steve and the rest of you, Timothy Britton was killed in the car wreck one day this week. The funeral is today at 2:30 at Hickory Chapel. The family will be using our fellowship hall and kitchen and nursery this afternoon during the funeral service and for a meal after the funeral service. So if you come in, a lot of people are in the kitchen setting up. Eating, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just tell you so you'll know what's going on. Their church is way back down in Nashville, and they live here, so this was so handy. And so we provided the meeting place for them after the funeral and the nursery during the funeral. I think Melanie's going to be working with them or be around at least, and I'll be around. Anybody else wants to come and kind of be a host, show people around, that'll be helpful too.
I think children's play practice.
Anything else? Deletion or addition to the prayer list?
I have two or three. Nancy and Sheila Geary and Sherry Windrow and Sharon Gardner and Rebecca Fielder are in Cancun. So pray for them and their safe return and their good time there. And there's a little girl that I got an email this week from Boyce and Beth Wallace in South America. Her name is Aura, A-U-R-A. She's 8 years old, but she has multiple birth defects, both mental and physical. And they are trying to get her. She lives out in the jungle in Guapi, where Boyce has a ministry out there. And it's 8 hours from civilization. I mean, it's out there. And they're trying to get a way to get her into one of the big cities to try to get her some therapy and some help. But just pray for that situation. And I'll be leaving either late this afternoon or early in the morning for Moss Point, Mississippi to lead another group down there. There'll be about 50 of us. So pray for that group in our tribe.
Anyone else? Okay, if we pause a moment. In silent prayer, preparing ourselves for worship, lighting of the candles. Welcome in Jesus, the light of the world. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Our call to worship this morning is responsive. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come to God's presence with thanksgiving. Sing the joyful songs of praise.
What shall we return to the Lord for all the good things God has done for us?
We will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
If you turn your hymnals to page 9.
Sing as we sing.
Ye heavens, adore Him. Praise Him, angels in the height. Sun and moon rejoice before Him. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise the Lord, for He has spoken. Worlds His mighty voice obeyed. Laws which never shall be broken, hath made. Praise the Lord, for he is glorious. Never shall his promise fail. God hath made his saints victorious. Sinners shall not prevail. Praise the God of our salvation. Most on high, his power proclaim. Heaven and earth and all creation, Lord, and magnify his name. Worship, honor, glory, blessing, Lord, we offer unto thee. Love and all thy praise expressing, in glad homage bend the knee. All the saints in heaven adore thee. We would bow before the throne, as an angel serve before thee, so on earth thy will be done.
Let us bow for prayer. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that we can come and worship and give glory, offer honor and blessings to you. Lord God, thank you for this time away from the world. Lord, we know that you send us back into the world, and we pray that we would be better equipped to go in this time in your special presence. Speak to us, but allow us to speak before you. Inspire each of us that might be so. And we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing for the Apostles' Creed and the Gloria.
Say the Apostles' Creed in unison, please. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Call to confession if we claim we have not sinned. Our prayer of confession in unison. God of mercy, You sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are missed with pride. We see ourselves pure when we are stained and great. When we are, we have neglected, rejoiced, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sins. Return us in the path of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our assurance of forgiveness, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Amen.
Turning your hymnals now, please, to hymn 522. Let's sing 1, 2, and 4. He lifted me, even in our sinful state, lifted me.
Loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depth of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me, with tender hand, he lifted me. Chains of light to plains of night, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. But when I took him at his word, forgiven he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From chains of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why, I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From chains of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me.
Sam, maybe a hair more, obviously, since I missed it. walk my first step, and I'm clinging to the promise that I do with me yet. So if all of these trials bring me closer to you, then I will walk through the fire if you want me to. Chosen. When you lead me through a walk, it's not my home. But you never said it would be easy. You only said I'd never go under.
Offertory sentence this morning is from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and the ones who have been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. The ushers, come forward, please.
In your hymnals now to hymn 515. The bulletin says, this is a praise song. And it's a lively little tune. So let's praise Him through our singing.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for it's long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Comes up to my or my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into I have ceased from my wandering. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins which were many all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Never of joy for my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go back to God. Me, I know Jesus came into my heart. I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, this Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. I'm so joy of my soul, like the sea billows roll.
Finally got you to smile. Thank you.
You open your bulletins. Our scripture reading this morning is Galatians 5, 16 through 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, fractions, and envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with a passion and desire. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The Word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Steve, thank you, Peggy, Sam, ushers, all of you. Good to be back. Good to be back in the community. We had a delightful time, but there's always time to come home. I come with a negative note this morning, I guess, talking about
the do-nots, or some of the do-nots. I have printed, even as early as this morning, a sheet back in front with some do-nots from the Apostle Paul. I think all of these come from his writings, except the last, the bottom Ten Commandments. Of course, that God gave that to Moses. It's our understanding that Paul receives of the Lord wisdom, insight, instruction. You have an outline before you, and I do plan to follow it rather closely. And I beg your prayers this morning that I might present the gospel. There is a good news part of this message also. Gospel being good news. You may have said, often I have heard it said, that there are so many do-nots or thou shalt nots in the Bible. How many has ever said that? There are just so many do-nots or so many thou shalt nots. Adam and Eve heard the do-nots. What their do-not was, do not eat of the fruit of this particular tree. They had a lot that they could do, but they chose to do what God had instructed them not to do. But that's maybe the first time in the Bible that we find a do-not. Then the Ten Commandments. How many do-nots do we have there? Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And do not steal, do not kill, do not bear false witness against your neighbor, do not have any false gods before you. Four of the ten speak of our relationship with God. Six of the ten speak of our relationship with other people. In the Sermon on the Mount, we find it in Matthew put together. It's kind of spread out in Luke, but in Matthew it's in chapter 4, 5, and 6, and is defined as the Sermon on the Mount. There's a lot said in the Sermon on the Mount about what not to do, but there's more said about what we should do. But for some do-nots, even in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus spoke to his disciples, teaching them how to teach others, one of the things he said in Matthew 6:1, and paraphrase, do not be a show-off with your religious actions. Do not be a show-off with your religious actions. Talking about prayer. And don't show how religious you are by praying with contorted faces or with long prayers. Then it says, if you want to pray, it's good to go into a closet and pray. But then he goes on to say to us how we should pray and gives us an example of prayer. He said in this sermon, or this presentation, this lecture, if you will, he talked about laying not up treasures on earth and forgetting to lay up treasures in heaven also. That's in the 6th chapter, verse 19. And then in the 6th chapter, verse 25 and following, Jesus speaks about worry. He basically says, do not worry. And I think I've got us all here. We're all guilty. Is that right? There's a question down later. Who is guilty? How many of us worry? Okay. We're all included here. So, an appropriate sermon, I guess, is it not? It would seem, and it may have been said this way, you may have said it yourself, that there is nothing that a Christian can do except sit and twiddle his or her thumbs. Do you remember a time when your parents talked about, we couldn't even pick up a pair of scissors on Sunday? You did very little. I wish we could go back to some of that. But then my problem is with that, I will eat out at a restaurant and cause other people to work. I'll stop and buy gas on Sunday, or gasoline. So I enable other people not to keep the Sabbath day holy. Have you ever felt that, especially as a younger person, you heard some do not, do not, do not, do not, that you couldn't do anything if you're going to be a Christian? But even idleness is spoken against. You got a pencil? You might want to write this down. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 and following. I think in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, they had a trouble with the people. They were not necessarily lazy. They were looking for the Lord to return, and they said, immediately, and they said, well, there's no need to do anything, no need to build any houses if the Lord is going to return immediately. No need to make provisions for food because He's going to come and take us away before we need to eat. In heaven, we won't need to eat, right? Or will we? But they thought the Lord was going to come, so they sat down and just did nothing. The Apostle Paul heard about it, so he wrote a letter to them and said, folks, work while you wait. Provide for your needs, your family. A closer look shows that there was plenty for Adam and Eve to do back in Genesis. I made a note, kind of looked at this in detail, and they're supposed to be fruitful, and they're supposed to multiply. They're supposed to replenish the earth. And then they were supposed to have dominion over the living things, or subdue the earth. So they had enough to do. That's in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Genesis 2 says that they were to dress. 2:15, if you want to have the specific verse. They were to dress and keep the garden. And if you've raised a garden in the heat of the summer when there's plenty of rain, you know that's enough to keep people busy. So they had enough to do. It wasn't an idle situation. There was a lot to do, even way back then. For those receiving the commandments, there were many do nots, but there were also some, let's do this. Are people being involved in this? They were to worship God. They were to trust God. And then when they got into the land of Canaan, they were to get busy taking the land. They were to rid the land of the other inhabitants. That was God's command. It was theirs. God gave it to them. Well, they fell short of that. If you want to really read a concise version of it, read the first couple of chapters of Judges. They got there and they took an area or two and were real successful in doing it, except when they didn't follow the way of the Lord. Then they would falter, get beaten up on, and find the culprit who had stolen and hidden some robes and some gold and silver in his tent. They stoned him to death, and then they went on and took that second town and other towns and other towns and other towns, and then I guess they became complacent and they became satisfied. So they had enough to do rather than just not disobeying the Lord by doing those things that He said not do. They were to worship, they were to trust God, they were to take the land, and that was a full-time job. But in doing that, there were a lot of things that they were not to do. And then for those in the Sermon on the Mount, I'll just mention that Sermon on the Mount starts, or early in the Sermon on the Mount, 5:16, he says, "Let your light shine." Let your light as a Christian, let Christ shine through you or be a reflection of Christ. Don't hide your lamp under a bushel or a tub or a basket, whatever translation you want to use. But let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. So there's a lot of good works to be involved in. Jesus says there in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, let them see your good works that you're involved in and give glory to the Father in heaven. And then another thing that we find in the Sermon on the Mount to be involved in is forgiveness. We have trouble forgiving still, don't we? What an example. And people are amazed at the Mennonites, the Amish, being able to forgive. Being able to forgive. It's a Bible teaching. It's a Bible teaching. It's what Jesus taught us to do, forgive. And unless we forgive, we're not forgiven. What he says in the Sermon on the Mount. Our scripture lesson is only a sample of do not. It's not all inclusive. Everything's not included. But a sample. And then I printed a front and a back. Some do nots. Some do not. A front and a back. All of them from the writings of the Apostle Paul. And if you look at this, it was interesting to just underline or circle or something each time it said, do not. Do not, do not, do not, do not. Actually, Galatians doesn't say, do not, in these verses, but the implication is there. Do not be involved in sexual immorality. That must have been a problem in the days of Paul. In the early church, still a problem today. We haven't gotten over it. We haven't followed. Promiscuousness. It was a problem. In 3 or 4 of these letters, that is in the list of the do nots. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage. You ever had a fit of rage? Any of us never had a fit of rage? Wow, I can say, well, I'm not guilty of this, and I'm not guilty of this. But if you keep reading, I find what I am guilty of. Oh, I'm still learning to control those fits of rage. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness. Well, I hadn't got drunk in a while, maybe on coffee. Orgies, hadn't been involved in them at all. And the like. So if anything that he didn't list here, you can include it in those and the like. And then, do not let the sun go down while you're angry in Ephesians 4. Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Then down in Ephesians 5, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Empty words have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Then Colossians, put to death. That means do not do it. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Here he mentions sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Rid yourself of such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. That implies that we do not worship angels either. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. Somebody brought me a book of tapes. You know, they used to put cassette tapes in a little folder and put five or six in there. And they brought me a folder of tapes about angels. And this man allegedly had this special gift, he thought, of having visitations by angels. And he went on and on and on about the angels. Well, I listened to a portion of them. It would be easy to begin to worship the angels. We're told not to. They're angelic beings. Why shouldn't we worship them? No, we worship God the Father and Christ. Angels are servants. We may respect what they do. We may not ignore them. Maybe we even have a guardian angel. There's questions about that. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Don't get involved in, do not handle, do not taste. You know, the laws that have nothing to do with being a Christian. Do not touch. Then, avoid sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 and following. Control the body. Not in passionate lust like the heathen. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Make sure that nobody, 1 Thessalonians 5, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Do not put out the Spirit's fire in yourself or in someone else, I will say. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Then avoid every kind of evil. That means do not be involved in evil. And then it's 1 Timothy, it's not 1 Tom. 1 Timothy 6. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, because wealth is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides. And then Titus, avoid foolish controversies. A lot of do nots. A lot of do nots. Who is guilty? Well, we all are. I think as we look at them, we find something we're guilty of, right? Even today, or before the day's over. You know, 8 o'clock people, kind of hard to get too involved in too many of these early in the morning, isn't it? But the Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. And then in Isaiah, we're told that even our righteousness, our self-righteousness, is like filthy rags before God, our self-righteousness. But there is good news. Good news. Forgiveness is available when we have done wrong. That's why Christ died. John 3:16. John 3:17. Christ, God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Matthew 26:28. Christ's blood was shed for the remission of sin. First Timothy 1:15. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, or to save guilty people. Steps to forgiveness is to realize they're a problem. I haven't done nothing wrong. We won't think we need forgiveness. The Word of God tells us that there is a problem with sin. The wages of sin is death. The soul of the person who sins shall die. That's spiritual death. We're going to die a physical death, but we'll be separated from God. And the Holy Spirit convicts us. God's Spirit that Jesus promised to send back, and he did send back, but it says in John 16:8 that the Holy Spirit will come and will convict us of the sin in our life. Now, we talk about forgiveness, talked about the good news, and somebody will even take that and mess it up. Jude tells us about it. Jude 4, hear these words, the last part of it. Well, it's even through all of verse 4. I said B, but all of it. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. This is in the church. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. In other words, they'll say, oh, we can be forgiven. We can go out and sin like we want to. Often, it has been said, well, we'll go to confession in the morning. We'll go to confession before we go to the table. It's still being done. We'll just confess and He'll forgive us, because it says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. People using the grace of God as a license. Paul dealt with it. People were saying, well, if God is so gracious, let us use His grace. Let us let His grace flow freely. So let us sin more that we might be forgiven. Heaven forbid, he said. No, that's not the way it is. No, there is forgiveness when we sin. But it's not willful sin. Oh yeah, I guess there is. I don't guess. I know there is forgiveness for willful sin. But the Christian is not called to a sinful life. Then read verse 5 and 7. Though you already know all of this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered His people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these He has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah, we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, don't we? And the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. The invitation is to repent and to claim Jesus and the forgiveness that He has provided for us when He died on Calvary, and begin to live by the yes-yeses of the Bible, of God's Word. Let's turn in our hymnal and sing 369, O Jesus, I Have Promised. And let's make this our prayer and our commitment to God. O Jesus, I have promised. Let's stand together, and it's 369. Maybe your response this morning will be a public response. If that is the case, I'll meet you here in the altar, and we'll pray about it, and we'll get things settled that you need to get settled between you and God. 369.
Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the signs that the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, thou hast promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend.
Next week we'll look at the do's, or the yes-yeses, or some of them in God's Word. Lord, thank you for reminding us when we get off of the track. Thank you for your word that teaches us right from wrong. And Lord, help us to keep our promise, knowing that you are faithful and keep yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.